Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for December 10th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Judith Davey about an inflammatory cytokine that interferes with muscle repair. Inflammatory cytokines are produced at sites of infection and tissue damage, and they promote the inflammatory processes that fight pathogens and start the process of tissue repair. When a skeletal muscle is damaged by injury or intense exercise, it secretes an inflammatory cytokine called interferon gamma, which helps the muscle to heal. Although transient production of interferon gamma is required for repairing damaged muscle, too much of it can actually hinder repair. In a study published this week in Science Signaling, Priya Lande and Judith Davey described the molecular basis for how too much interferon gamma impedes muscle repair. Judy Davey spoke to me from the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Carbondale, Illinois. Hi, Dr. Davey. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
There are a lot of ways that skeletal muscle can be damaged. There are traumatic injuries, of course, but even strenuous exercise and overuse can damage muscle. So muscle repair happens a lot. It's a pretty common physiological phenomenon. How is damaged muscle repaired?
That's a great question. You're absolutely right. Muscle repair happens to all of us every single day. It is a natural process of muscle. So I have to introduce one cell type to answer that question. Skeletal muscle has a resident stem cell population that helps it in the repair process. And these are stem cells that are committed to the muscle fate. They are a stem cell, but the only thing they can be is a muscle cell. And these cells are termed satellite cells. So when we think about muscle, we have to invoke the satellite cells. But we think of muscle repair as controlled in three processes. The process of inflammation, which is going to involve the accumulation of the inflammatory milieu. These are cell types that are part of the immune system. Then the second phase is the repair and regeneration phase, where those satellite cells, those myogenic precursor cells, are going to activate. And then the final phase is a remodeling phase where the satellite cells will proliferate, differentiate, and fuse to repair the damaged muscle fiber.
The first step in the repair process is inflammation. Molecularly, what triggers the repair process? What aspect of inflammation sets the process in motion?
That is a tremendously active area of research. The current thinking is that it is actually the damage of the muscle itself which is going to trigger this process. And the thought is that factors released by the injured muscle are going to activate inflammatory cells that are actually present in the skeletal muscle. And once these activate, these are going to provide the signals to the immune system to further recruit in the immune cells.
The inflammatory process triggers the repair program, and one of the molecules that's important is the pro-inflammatory cytokine interferon gamma. How does interferon gamma function in muscle repair?
Right, and so that is the topic of the manuscript we're very happy to be publishing. But just to go back on what's been shown is that what others have found is that interferon gamma is both required for normal muscle repair, that it does get the process going, but that too much actually destroys muscle. You get necrotizing myopathy, meaning the muscle just destroys itself. And so that's where our work started. These experiments were performed by an incredibly talented graduate student, Priya Lande. And what Priya has shown in this work is that interferon gamma actually inhibits muscle differentiation, that final phase. And we think that in a transient state, that's a good thing because it gives those satellite cells time to proliferate before terminal differentiation initiates. But in the case where there's too much interferon gamma, muscle can't properly differentiate and form the fully differentiated structure.
So when there's too much interferon gamma around, the satellite cells proliferate, but they just can't do the final step of actually becoming muscle cells?
That's our hypothesis. The satellite cells, as soon as they become activated, are called myoblasts. And what we have shown is that the myoblasts can't differentiate.
Given that some interferon gamma is good for muscle repair, but too much interferon gamma inhibits muscle repair, that must mean that production of interferon gamma is very tightly controlled.
That is absolutely true. Interferon gamma production is very carefully regulated. So many cells in the immune system express interferon gamma, and each of those cells are going to very tightly regulate the production. There are specific cytokines which are secreted by immune cells, such as interleukin 12, interleukin 18. These promote the production of interferon gamma. There are also negative regulators of interferon gamma. These include IL-4, IL-10, glucocorticoids. These inhibit the production of interferon gamma. So as the inflammatory milieu changes, that is going to modulate the production of interferon gamma. One aspect of this that we think is particularly interesting is that it has been shown that skeletal muscle itself actually produces interferon gamma and expresses the receptor for interferon gamma. And it does so when these cells are in that myoblast fate. But as soon as those cells differentiate into a muscle fiber, they stop expressing interferon gamma and they silence their receptor. So that's one area of our research. We're very interested in understanding how skeletal muscle itself modulates the expression of interferon gamma.
Also in this paper, you looked at muscle repair in a mouse model of muscular dystrophy. And before we talk specifically about your experiments or about that mouse model, I have a question about muscular dystrophy. So I know there are many different types of muscular dystrophy and that they're all characterized by gradual weakening of muscles and damage to muscles. What goes wrong in muscular dystrophy? Are the muscle fibers more prone to damage and the repair system can't keep up with the damage? Or is the repair system itself faulty so that the muscles can't be repaired properly once they're damaged?
Right. The current thinking is exactly what you stated, that the muscle is damaged and the repair process can't keep up. Muscular dystrophy in all of its forms is, just as you said, a weakening of the skeletal muscle structure. In the vast majority of cases, it is a deficit in a structural protein in muscle. So, of course, skeletal muscle functions by contracting. That's the use of skeletal muscle. And so for skeletal muscle, which is bundles of these individual myofibers, to function, the contraction must be tightly coupled. All the fibers need to pull together. And so this comes about through a very careful linking of the sarcomere, which defines the structure of skeletal muscle, the coupling of those individual sarcomeres together so that, again, the bundled myofibers can pull efficiently. And so any deficit in that coupling can lead to a muscular dystrophy, because if that action is not coupled, the muscle can basically just pull itself apart. And that's what happens in many of the forms of muscular dystrophy. The very famous form of muscular dystrophy is, of course, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And that is an absence of one protein, or the mutation of one protein, dystrophin. And dystrophin is one of these structural molecules that is going to physically couple the sarcomeres together. So once you lose that coupling with the absence of dystrophin, the muscle just kind of pulls itself apart. What people have shown is that the satellite cells, those cells that aid in repair, satellite cells are normal in muscular dystrophy patients, and they proliferate quite well. So the dominant hypothesis has been that muscle repair is fine, but the satellite cells just exhaust themselves as the individual reaches late teens to 20s. Our data implies that the satellite cells may be fine, but our data suggests, we certainly haven't proven, but we suggest that the full process of muscle repair may not be normal in the case of muscular dystrophy, that because of the high levels of interferon gamma from the constant damage that's occurring, muscle may not be differentiating properly. And so you may not get a fully formed muscle fiber in these cases, in every myofiber.
In these experiments, you were looking at muscle repair in a mouse model of muscular dystrophy, the MDX knockout mice. What's going on with interferon gamma and muscle repair in those mice?
So others have shown, and the reason we were interested in this model, that the serum levels of interferon gamma were high in MDX mice. And the thinking is that that's because of the constant damage. The muscles are constantly being damaged, causing the recruitment of the inflammatory infiltrate. It had also been shown by another lab, the Tidball lab, that animals that lacked interferon gamma were protected against MDX. So if an MDX animal does not have interferon gamma, the muscle function is a little improved. So in our work, we had found that interferon gamma was leading to a resetting of the cell fate. And so we asked in MDX animals where they had high interferon gamma, could we see this change? And indeed we did. So we see a resetting of the cell fate in the MDX animals, which again we think implies that these cells will not differentiate properly.
Skeletal muscle is not just susceptible to injury from trauma or from overuse, but muscle fibers just in the normal course of events experience wear and tear.
Right.
And they're tissues that perform work, and like any machine that performs work, some parts just wear out and need to be replaced.
Right.
And so muscles are in sort of a constant state of repair in some ways to keep the muscle functional. Is interferon gamma also part of the normal regenerative processes that maintain muscle?
We certainly believe that is true. Muscle does need to be repaired constantly, and that is the function of those satellite cells. That's why muscle has this committed population to deal with this. I think the signals for these type of repairs may modulate the outcome. So in the typical homeostasis of a muscle fiber wearing out and needing to be replaced, again, the whole process is initiated by the damage of muscle fibers. A damaged muscle fiber is going to release muscle proteins into the serum and also factors that are going to initiate the cascade of repair. So a single muscle fiber needing to be replaced would excrete a small amount. So it might get a very modest inflammatory response and a lower total cell response, where in the case of a traumatic injury, of course, the inflammatory infiltrate is going to be much greater. It's going to be a much larger response. So we think interferon gamma is involved in the repair of all muscle, be it just the homeostasis repair or repair of major trauma. But I think the degree of the response initiated will be different.
Thank you, Dr. Davey, for speaking with me.
Thank you.
That was Judy Davey discussing a paper published in the December 10th issue of Science Signaling by Lante and Davey. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.